All right, back with us, the professor, and that is Ron Wotus on this Sunday. Woe, how are you?
Doing great, Marty. It's good to be at the ballpark on a Sunday like old times, walking through the halls and seeing the hot dog buns and the rutabaga coming in. So I wish you were here to see it.
Absolutely. I love that part. It reminds me of the lasagna at Little Original Joe's. I love that stuff. So yeah, it's a good way to walk into the park. Hey, on River Islands, Colleen sent me a note that the model homes and everything, they're open now all the time. So you can go out there and look at the neighborhood.
Yeah, Marty, I'm looking forward to going back out there when the season's over and in the fall, and you know, taking a look at the pumpkin patch and all the stuff they have out there to do. Going over, see the progress they've made with the schools over at River Islands, and who knows, Don Johns probably will have something going on. Hopefully we can connect with him and have lunch at the restaurant Boathouse, and you know, seeing it, because it continues to grow, and I'd like to catch up with everybody.
Boy, I can't wait to go out there with you. It'd be a lot of fun. Do you play bocce at all?
Yeah, you know, I haven't played in years. I'd like to. I think the speed of that game is right in my wheelhouse. So I think it's something I have to get into, the bocce. So yeah, that's a great point. October bocce is the thing to do if you're not in the playoffs.
Yeah, I played bocce in Miami Beach when I grew up. Yeah, that was something that we actually did, believe it or not. All right, that's fun. We'll look forward to that. Well, a scary incident at the park yesterday during the game. Estrada got hit right behind the ear, and he got hit on the helmet. But a scary incident. Made me think of, you know, the players who they used to play without helmets. Well, and then yeah. We see something like that for Estrada. It was a scary moment.
Yeah, it was. And, you know, the game has changed in a lot of ways for the better when it comes to, you know, health and protection. And, you know, with some of these new rules, obviously they protect the catchers today. But getting hit is one thing that, as you said, they didn't have helmets. Or years ago, when I first came up, you know, Gene Temis and Dave Parker and these guys, they had just a skull cap like the catcher wears. They didn't have the ear flaps. And, you know, they use a single ear flap most of the time in the big leagues, but minor leagues they use the double. But you're right. So that's improved. And that ball hit him last night. You know, I always watch when a guy gets hit, you know, does the ball glance off him? Does it ricochet, or does it hit and go straight down? And when it goes straight down, you're really concerned, because that's a good blow to the head. But he's doing well. He's in the clubhouse. He was eating last night. I just saw him this morning. I put the finger in front of him. He followed it with the eyes. He's doing okay. So hopefully we dodged a bullet there.
Well, I hope so. The professor's now a doctor. I like that. The astigmatism test. We used to do that in drunk driving cases. No, I remember that completely.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably did it in the courtroom. I learned that from Flan, you know, Dr. Tim Flannery. He's a doctor as well.
All right, very good. You know, you said something interesting, and that is when you get hit and the ball drops, it's a problem. And there was an incident this week with Daniel Castano of the Marlins. I don't know if you saw it, but Solano hit a line drive back at him, and it ricocheted off the helmet, the brim, and went to third. The third baseman caught the ball, and they said exactly what you just said. If he would have gotten hit and the ball dropped, they would have been much more concerned. But the ball went off him, off the helmet, to the third baseman for the out. How about that? It was hit at 104 miles an hour.
Yeah, you know, the glancing blow is what you want. You know, I've been hit plenty of times at the plate, been hit in the head as well. And, you know, the glancing blows don't get you as much. I've never taken one where it drops straight down. So, it was a scary moment. That's a unique play. Whenever a ball ricochets off a player, especially a helmet, or you know, and goes somewhere and you get an out, that's pretty unique. No doubt about that one.
Well, I hope he's okay. According to Twitter, the Giants are coming up with another minor league shortstop, Dixon Machado, from the Iowa Cubs. So we'll see if that happens today. But, well, my question to you is, Vossler has to go in at short. I think the last time he played short was like 8 years ago. What do you tell someone, the emergency shortstop, what do you say before he goes out there?
Yeah, well, the good news with him going there, I mean, he hasn't played shortstop, but when you're in these shifts, the third baseman sometimes goes to short, he goes to second. So these guys do move around a lot today, and I think that the most important thing that I've always told a guy that didn't play the position was the number one thing was play shallower, play a little bit shallower, because when you have to range to your right or your left, and then you have to make a throw, that's where the speed of the game really gets you at shortstop. You know, at third base, the ball gets to you quicker. You don't do as much ranging right or left. And you don't want to, you know, if you don't have that shortstop arm, you know, or you don't have that range, but mostly the arm, you don't want to play too deep and outplay your arm strength. And the other thing it does if you play, you know, two or three steps shallower is it allows you to take a little more time when you catch the ball. The hard thing about short is, you know, when you got to catch the ball in position to throw it, you got to get it on its way the majority of the plays in a timely fashion. You know, first, second, third, you get a hard hit ball. You can catch it. You could take three or four steps and then throw the ball. So I think that's the number one thing, and try not to do too much. I mean, whether a guy's playing second for the first time, you know, make sure one out. That's the other thing on a double play. Don't try to be too quick. Just get the first out. If it's a double play ball, throw it to second, make sure one, and then the second baseman can turn it. So those are things I think that are real important to tell a player that hasn't played a new position, hasn't played a position and finds himself in a spot like that.
Well, the ball found him right away. Isn't it amazing? When come on.
I mean, every ball was hit to him. I know. Go continue. Yeah, you're exactly right.
No, it was. Yeah. Every ball was hit to him, and the first one, Bodie had the big secondary lead and got there before he could force him out. The next one, a potential DP with Flores, and that was a tough play. But here you put a guy in, and right away the ball finds him.
Yeah, it does. It's uncanny how that happens, and that's why you want the skills of a shortstop at that position. He did all he could do, you know. I mean, but I think if you had a regular shortstop out there, he probably would have charged that one ground ball a little bit more. But you mentioned that Bodie did a tremendous job. You know, he had a huge lead at first base to beat that throw. And, you know, here's a guy playing short for the first time. And, the timing of everything is going to be different. He's probably thinking to himself, oh my God, is that how quick a guy gets to second from short? You don't see a guy do what Bodie did very often and beat that play. But again, if you're a little shallower sometimes, or you charge the ball a little bit more, if there was a regular shortstop, maybe he would have tried to get the lead runner at second on that last ground ball where he had to come in and he was on the grass. And that's a difficult play. Mm-hmm. And I think Voss did a great job in getting the out. Even though the tying run went to second, you don't want to try to do too much and try to make a play you haven't been involved with before and then throw it away or don't get anybody out. So I commend him for coming to get that last ground ball and getting the out at first base. It was the right play for him.
Yeah, he saved the game, and I'm sure Dom Leone was buying him a dinner after that one to get out of that ninth inning. Boy, that was a tough one, but it ended up well, 5-4. Well, thinking about the Giants yesterday at the ballpark, you just felt they were going to win a game because of Will Clark, because of that ceremony. And what did you think of the ceremony?
Will Clark pumped me up, I'll tell you that. I love seeing these retirements. I love when great players are honored on the field. I remember watching Larry Walker's number retired in Colorado, and I don't miss it. I want a front row seat. I get emotional listening to it. You know, I guess I love history. I seen these guys play. You get to learn more about them. And the competitor that Will is, if he didn't pump you up yesterday to want to beat the other team and get after it, I don't know what will. And it was a wonderful speech. It's great to see his teammates, you know, Robbie Thompson, who I coach with here. It's great to see the other coaches, our other players talking about Will. And honestly, you know, Kipe and Kruk, they're the absolute best. I mean, Mike Kruko, his speech yesterday about Will, if that doesn't hit home with you, I know he was emotional up there, talking about Will. It was just, you know, it's what the Giants do. And I think it's because of the people that they have doing this. They did a tremendous job, and I can go on and on and on about different facets of this, but Kruko, Kipe, wonderful job. Will, wonderful job. And everybody else involved with it, the Giants, Mario Alioto, the countdown to his number, you know, the countdown to 22 before they revealed the number. I thought that was a nice touch. So, yeah, what a great day.
Yeah, I thought it was very inspiring. And I said when the show opened today, sort of just to get off the track for a second, as a country, we look for leaders. And Will Clark is a legitimate leader, and he made an inspirational speech. And I think we're all sort of starving for good leadership and to get people we can trust. And my question to you is, can you fake that stuff as a ball player? You can't fake it, can you?
I don't think so, no. Will was speaking from the heart. Yeah. He saw the emotion on the day from there. I think everybody spoke from the heart. Kruko, you know, Kipe, all the people that spoke, and you can tell when somebody's faking it or when someone's sincere and speaking from the heart. And it was really nice to him to acknowledge everybody the way he did. Not everybody does that in those type of speeches as well, but he fired me up, and I think that's a great point, Marty. It was inspirational.
Yeah, and you could trust him. I liked it. I think we all needed a speech like that for whatever reasons. All right. The professor is with us, Ron Wotus, today on a Sunday as we talk about all sorts of different things. Also, and Bruce Jenkins and I will talk about this in the next 45 minutes or so, but Bill Russell passed away today. Maybe some of your thoughts on how dominant he was and what kind of man Bill Russell was.
Well, we just mentioned how, you know, inspiring Will Clark was yesterday, and the great athletes that we get to watch, in this country, they leave your mark with you. Mm-hmm. And Bill Russell did. I mean, I didn't see him play a lot, but, you know, you see the old video, he's such a professional and dominated the sport. You love seeing that. And, you love seeing tributes about these great athletes. So, Bill, what a heck of a player he was, and I enjoyed every time I saw him involved with anything, as did most people in this country.
Yeah, another inspirational leader, and that's the key for me. Will Clark's a leader, Bill Russell is a leader, and they were honest people. Well, it's getting a little wild out there at Oracle with the pop-ups. Is it Candlestick 2 here? What's happened out there?
Well, you heard Will talk about the flags blowing directly at each other, or the 50 hot dog wrappers. We saw one float by yesterday when I was watching the game. It's typical for players to come into this ballpark and not understand the wind. Like Wrigley gets a lot of wind, and I was talking to Andy Green, their bench coach, about it. And their third baseman the other day missed that pop-up. It's not an easy place to play catch pop-ups because the wind doesn't blow in one direction. You know, they have that new graphic now on TV where it shows you how the wind swirls in this ballpark and then goes somewhere. Candlestick was the same way. Most ballparks, like Wrigley, for instance, if the wind's blowing in, you know it's going to be hard to hit one out. If it's blowing out, you just want to get the ball in the air as a hitter because it's going out. The wind usually doesn't swirl. It goes one direction or another. At this ballpark, at Candlestick, it can swirl. And these infielders and outfielders need to keep their feet moving, their knees bent, and not take for granted that the ball is going to come down where they see it. So it is one of the tougher parks to play in baseball. And that's why, you're so proud of your guys when they catch these balls and they make the plays here in this park. And of course, they play here every day, but we work at it, and it's not easy to do.
No, and you got to keep running. How about that? You can't stop running because that ball, once it's up in the air, anything can happen.
Yeah, and it's as we said, the winds blow so different. If you're an infielder, you know, you got to try to get behind the ball. You know, to your point, you got to keep running. You can't drift with it because the ball is going to keep going. A high pop up to left, that's where the ball carries the most, and the ball will continue to drift out. Now, if it's a pop-up down the right field side, kind of, you know, where the first baseman, second baseman, and right fielder are going for it down the right field line, it's gonna start off going foul, and then it's going to come back 10 yards towards the field. And it'll die a lot of times. It won't carry. It'll get knocked down. So different parts of this park, the pop-up reacts differently. And, of course, the home team knows it a lot better.
Boy, interesting part of baseball. What do you think of Joey Bart's home run last night?
Crushed it. I was impressed, and I thought his at-bats last night were as good as the at-bats he's had all year. Even his last at-bat, he took a fastball away. He went down and got it. I'm really happy to see him jumping on that fastball and taking that good hack. I saw on Twitter, it popped up on my phone, that the ball was hit harder than any other home run since they've been recording it. Is that
accurate?
How about
that? Yeah, 114 miles an hour. The hardest in the StatCast era, or, you know, whatever that means. But, yeah, 114. So he's got the power. And I'll tell you another one. He's growing on me, no pun intended, but it's Mercedes. And I realize in defense it's a little bit of a stretch. But, whoa, this guy, he takes a ferocious swing. And if he can get a pitch he can work, he's going to do some damage.
Yeah, you're right. He's a lot like Pablo Sandoval. He swings, and he's not going to get cheated, and he's dangerous because, you know, a guy that sits up there and takes is not dangerous. A guy that's swinging is dangerous. So pitchers, you know, they know he like every hitter, you know, he has some places you can go to get him out, but he's so aggressive that, you know, it's hard to pitch around him, and he's ready for anything. He's ready for the ball in, he's ready for the ball away. He's putting up some good at-bats as of late. It was nice to see him. I think he got three hits last night. And, you know, you need somebody like that to jolt this offense as well. Hitting is contagious, so you get somebody hot. You know, Flo and Slater have been swinging the bat very good, you know, against lefties. But now you add another bat, and here we go. Now you get a few guys that can do some damage, and it makes your lineup a lot better.
Well, interesting. Yeah, I like Mercedes. I like the way he swings the bat. Gonzalez had a home run as well. So good five runs. I like the way they got the five runs last night. Well, on the show today is Ron Shelton. He's the writer-director of the movie Bull Durham. So I was thinking about you. First, I love the movie. Did you see the movie?
Oh, yeah. I've probably seen that movie about five times. Every time it's on, I get sucked into watching it again. It brings back memories. You know, I played in the Carolina League. I played in Durham, North Carolina there. I've been to that ballpark. Dirty Al Gallagher was the manager at that ballpark where they filmed the movie when I was in A-ball. But, no, love the movie. Great baseball movie.
Yeah, what is it about the minor leagues? And I know the minor leagues have been in the news lately about the living wages and how much kids get paid and all that. You've managed in the minor leagues. How do you handle kids and the money and all that kind of stuff? Because that's in the news lately.
Yeah, well, the game has changed an awful lot. I mean, when I was drafted out of high school and I went to rookie ball in Florida, and then I went up to Salem, Virginia, you know, the last 2 weeks of the season. And I love the minor leagues. Look, you know, I think if you're coming out of a big college, and you go down to the minor leagues and you're playing at some of these ballparks, you know, they're housing the guys now. They didn't house us. You're on your own to find a place to live, whatever you're getting paid to survive. You know, we'd have three guys in a house. We'd rent a house. We'd get three guys. You'd get roommates. You just didn't have your own situation. And I think it makes it a lot tougher if you're married or if you have kids in the minor leagues. So, you know, really baseball is the focus as a coach, but you're aware of their situation. So I think the game is finally trying to improve things in the minor leagues for the players. They're housing them now. The money's a lot better than it was. And really, because you're making wages that you really can't survive on your own. If it wasn't for my father, you know, supplementing my income and helping me get through the minor leagues, you know, the low levels in my first few years, financially, I would have had all kinds of debt and problems. I would have been living on the street. I wouldn't have been able to make it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that's been in the news a lot lately. And Manfred said something about the minor league living wage and all that kind of stuff. So that's still a story that's going to be played out a little more. I'm glad to hear that from you. Well, a couple other quick things. Madison Bumgarner, well, he's always in the news. And we talk about Will being competitive. How about this guy? So he gives up a home run to Robles of the Nationals last week. And Robles, I don't know, hasn't hit very many, and he sort of, you know, takes his time and flips the bat. And, you know, once Bumgarner sees this, it's trouble. So after the game, Bumgarner says, yeah, the guy's a clown. So I love this from Robles. Robles the next day comes into the dugout of the Nationals wearing a clown nose. How about that?
Well, it's a different era, that's for sure. What comes to mind about this whole situation is, especially after listening to Will yesterday talk and watching his video when he slid into second base and jumped up and got in a fight with Oquendo and Ozzie Smith, the game was played differently. And I think Bumgarner should have played 20, 30 years ago. He's too late because he's a throwback to the attitude and the approach that players had years ago. It was like, we're going to beat you. I don't know if you heard it yesterday talking about Will wouldn't even talk to the guys that came to first base. I think Barry Bonds was talking about that because he wanted to beat the other team. You know, you were trying to earn a living, and the game has changed. There's a lot of money in the game today. So I don't know, that's not the era that I came up with, you know, coming with a clown nose on. I mean, that's the way he chose to deal with it. It's a different era. You see a lot more of that. We have the Instagram. We have all the cameras. But I think the game has changed tremendously in the last 20 years when it comes to how the players approach the game and their feelings about those types of things when they happen.
Mm. Boy, I love Bumgarner. I just really enjoy the competitiveness that he shows. One last quick one for you. Rodon pitches today, and, of course, his name is twirling around in all these trade rumors. Rodon has been terrific, and, whoa, this is a – you hand him the ball, you know you're going to get a good game.
He's the number one on the staff along with Webby. You have to have one of those guys if you want to be a winning club. And if you get into the dance, the playoffs, you have to have a number one, you know, someone that stops your losing streaks. And that's what made it so difficult this past week was losing seven in a row. During that losing streak, you always expect either Rodon or Webby to stop the skid. But they both lost in their outings. And I don't know if they got the loss, but we didn't win the game. And that's what number ones do. So I'm happy that he's on the mound today. This is a huge game for the Giants. Everyone is huge now, right? We got 12 o'clock tomorrow, the trading deadline. So I'm happy he's on the mound today, and let's see if we can win this game and then see what tomorrow looks like.
All right. Thanks, Will. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy talking with you. Thank you.
Hey, Marty. Great being with you. Take care.
All right. That is the professor. Wow. More coming up. Bill interviews Grant Brisby. This will be interesting right after this.